so you could see what you're seeing.
Welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church's Searching the Scriptures class, where we take your questions and we answer them from the Word of God. Before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so very much for your grace and your mercy, for the greatness of your love and your compassion, for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform minds, that we would listen to your word and to your voice, that we would walk in the light of your presence, to do your will, and to worship you and praise you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so does anybody have any questions? And if you're listening to us, you can always join us on the Trillion Instant Messenger. Our ID is BBCMH95037. Anybody has any questions? Okay. You can always send an email to questions@bbcmh.org. Okay, so we have this question that came up about apathy of the church. There's a question as well, why does it seem that so many people in the church are so apathetic about service, about, you know, not only going to service, but also actually about doing anything? So we're going to take a look at, what are some things that can be done in the name of service? So Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12.
And the gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body.
Okay. So what are some things that people can do in service to the Church of Christ? We can teach. We can preach. We can pastor. And the idea behind pastoring is to shepherd, so that could include counseling. You don't have to be a pastor to counsel. You can be a Christian to counsel. Because we have the greatest counseling book ever written. We can go and tell other people about Christ. Okay. And it says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So what are some of the things that needs to happen for the ministry to function? Okay. So looking at into some of those things, some of the things around here is every week we have all these handouts, bulletins. Well, we need people to print and to fold and then update and maintain all that stuff. People for the work of the ministry, tracking, helping to track people so we can make sure that we visit people and that you can actually go visit people, whether in the hospital or at home, people that haven't been at church or people that come to church, being able to visit and minister one to another in that way. So there's a lot of different things that we can do. In our culture now, we have amplified audio, so people can run the audio equipment. Help with the music and so forth and so on. So if you're interested in finding out things that you can do, see me. I've got a list that's about 2 pages long. Okay. 2 Timothy 4. Verses 2 and 3.
Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves, or they heap to themselves, teachers having itching ears.
Okay, so what are some more things that we can do? Preach. So we can preach the word, and part of the preaching is rebuke. And so as we're talking to people and we just encounter them, we don't have to get preachy about it per se, but we can ask them about some of their actions or behaviors or motives. And help them to see that lying, stealing, cheating, which they would say at the surface level is, yeah, of course it's wrong. But then you start getting to nuances and details, because I've had, especially in our culture today, with the teens to mid-20s, the big thing is music sharing. Well, technically, to share music that you download from iTunes is stealing. They don't think about it. Because you don't buy the music, you buy the rights or a license to listen to the music. And they don't think about that one. So it's, a form of review, because wait, this is what is going on here, right? This is an illegal activity. And when people are feeling disturbed, well, we can use the word of God to encourage or exhort one another, to lift them up. Through the word of God, we can talk to people and know that there can be somewhat problematic, but we can be patient with them. We can share with them the doctrine of Christ. Understanding that they don't want to hear it, but that's okay. God never said, only talk to people that want to listen. You go and sit and say, go talk to everybody. So we can share, we can talk about and communicate the word of God with people. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14.
Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have made that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
So this is again talking about teaching, but he's referring to a level by sense of teaching. So what is the lowest level of teaching? How does he have parallel?
With the baby level?
Babe, with milk, the basic principles. Okay? Or as some people identify, you know, the word Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? Teaching the basic principles. Teaching, helping to really see the concept behind sin and the need for Christ and the way to Christ. But there's also going beyond that, because we have to go from milk, and he's communicating to these people saying, look, you guys are still at the milk stage. You're older now, and you ought to be able to have solid food. And so there's more penetrating thought and deeper conversation that gets to more information and helps mold and shape lives a little bit better, so we can be involved not only in communicating that to others, but also having that communicated to us, right? Through Bible studies, through Bible conversations that we can have with people. And so there's a lot of things in those arenas that we can do. Acts 6:1.
Chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily administration.
Okay. So what can we do here? Minister to people. We can. A lot of times, there's a lot of the elderly in our churches or in our neighborhoods, and even our part of our church, that can use some help around the house. Maybe they have some trees that need to be trimmed, a lawn that needs to be mowed, stuff, you know, house or things that need to be painted or fences repaired and so forth and so on. We can just do it, right? Talk with the neighbor and get, say, what you don't want them to do is come out with a shotgun and threaten you or anything, but we can do that. We can do that for them, and they may say, why are you doing this? Because God asked me. So, why would people just imply or say, no, I'm not going to do any of that? Getting them to admit it is tougher, but let's go to Ephesians 4, 8 to 15. Ephesians 4, 8 to 15.
Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and hemming craftiness, whereby we lie, in the ways of the seas, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is in heaven in Christ.
So there's a lot of things here where people have communicated that certain things that they don't want to do. Right, so we ask them to help out in a particular area of the ministry. Sometimes I'll say, well, I'm not gifted in that. And, well, how do you know you're gifted or not gifted in a particular area? A lot of times the concept of I'm not gifted in that area is the way of saying, I really don't want to do it, and I don't want to find out if I can do it. I just don't want it. Because I know with me, when they asked me to teach junior high Sunday school, I wasn't one to sit and talk with anybody, let alone teach something. I would not consider myself as a potential for a teacher. I mean, a gift to do it. But I did it. And I'd like to think that I've become okay at it, at least. Right? But a lot of times we don't realize what our giftedness is until we try to exercise it. And sometimes stretch beyond what we think we already can do, what we are already comfortable doing. Right? So some people are going to say, you know, he gave gifts to get in, but he didn't give me that gift. Well, then find the gift that you're gifted. Because, you know, look at what he's saying in verse 12. We have all these gifts, what? For the perfection of the saints. So what is it that we can supply that will aid in the perfection of the saints? That doesn't mean you have to be front line. You may be behind the scenes more. Well, I mentioned people put full bulletins or do the directory. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of skill to do some things. And maybe it does take a lot of skill, but you may have the skills. But just being willing to do it and say, you know, we can help out. But it's for the edifying of the body of Christ that we all come together, because a lot of hands, a lot of people to working together can accomplish much. So we all come to the unity of the faith. So gather together and be able to talk about and openly share and communicate as we talk about the scriptures, where we look at some of the theologies that are maybe challenging to us. Like in verse 14, that we're no longer like children, tossed to and fro. Whatever the greatest, newest, and latest doctrine is, we don't just grab hold of it, but we investigate it. And we take others with us. Let's investigate this. We try to come to an understanding of it. And so all of us have different accesses to different people, different information, different things come our way. So let's talk about them. Let's get together, share them, and let's evaluate them. So a lot of times people they'll claim that they're not gifted in that area. The speaking truth in love, they don't want to be confrontational in a Bible study session or anything. They don't want, if someone is wrong in the class and teaching something wrong, well, they don't want to say anything, but they might offend somebody. Well, we need to be willing to be offensive if it's necessary to cause threats. Because we need to, what did you say, speak the truth in love. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, 12 to 15.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
So there's two reasons that some people will use, directly or indirectly, for why they don't want to serve, right, in some capacity. One is dealing with verse 14. Or if you suffer for righteousness, like, well, I don't want people to hate me or to get angry with me or to get upset with me on anything. Right? Well, it's okay. Because we're to live for Christ, not for our own comfort. And so there's people that don't want to be in the limelight. They don't want people to be upset with them or irritated with them. What also happened a lot in verse 15 is, well, someone may ask him a question that they don't really have the answer to. And then I just completely destroyed any help I had of helping them out. And that's okay. There's always a valid answer. In fact, I think more people respect you more when you're willing to say, you know, I don't know the answer, but I'll find it for you. And so, but people are concerned, well, may never have the answer to the question that they have. They may over-talk to me and I won't know what to do. What we have to do is learn to get the word out and let God do the work. But people are concerned that they're not going to have the right words and the right things. 1 Peter 3:16 and 17.
Having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
So people are afraid that people will speak badly of them, because maybe they're not eloquent, maybe they're not, they are communicating with their Christians, and people just may, well, look down upon us for being Christians. So there's a good accuser, that person, one that's holier than thou type thing. They have all kinds of attitudes about Christians without really knowing who we are or what we believe. I've had conversations with people that basically their view of Christians is that we're completely, totally intellectually incapable of having a conversation. And so they don't want to talk to us. They're actually surprised that we can actually have an intellectual conversation. And so a lot of times we were afraid, well, people will think badly of them. Well, we've got to get over what people will think and consider what Christ will think. Luke 10.
Okay, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.
So what was Martha caught up with?
The to-do
list. Right? So a lot of times people are just, well, we're just way too busy to get involved. And one of the things that we need to consider is if we're too busy to get involved in the lives of people, we're probably just way too busy. If we're too busy to come to some of the church services, well, maybe we need to reevaluate what we're doing. If we're too busy to engage in a Bible study, we don't have to lead it, but be part of it. Maybe we're too busy in finding out what else it is that we need to do and do what God asks us to do. Because notice that Mary was not the one that was busy, but she took the better road, which is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so we can get caught up on the right way to do things and not consider that sometimes it's okay to do things the wrong way and learn from them so we can figure out the right way rather than it having to be perfect and done the right way the first time. Right? Things change. We figure things out. We realize, well, things don't work. Other things do work. Okay, we learn from it. But if we don't try, we'll never learn anything. So we're going to take a look and say, okay, does God ever give a reason for not being involved in some form? Luke 19:13, and go to Mary.
And called his 10 servants and delivered them to the towns and sent them to them, occupy the
house. Okay, so how long did Jesus expect his servants to continue serving?
Until
they came. So what is the reason for the servant that didn't serve? So the vow of justification before God that says, okay, I wasn't serving because, well, I was sort of in the grave. But it's a little tough to serve when you're dead. Occupied till I come. The Lord hasn't come yet. So therefore, we keep working until he does come.
The general reason is you're dead.
The one servant didn't serve, and he got condemned by the master for not serving. Later in verse 21-22. But he said, occupy till I come. Keep working. Keep serving until I return. Well, he hasn't returned yet, has he? And so since he hasn't returned, we keep serving. Titus 3:8-11.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid the foolish questions, and genealogies, and contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sins and being condemned of himself.
So there may be a particular individual that for a time we may back off in trying to reach and serve. Why? They're just fine on the minute. They are outright heretical. And it's you communicate to them the truth, they remain in their heresy. Okay, we're gonna leave you alone for a while, but it doesn't mean you live alone indefinitely. Okay.
The heresy that they're denying what we're saying,
that
the Bible says?
Yep, they're outright rejecting what God has said and denying it. And communicating, they're generally communicating another message which is against the gospel. Okay, and it's like, okay, communicate to them, reject their admonition, show them the right way, and if they remain in their heresy, reject your fellowship with them. Okay. But a lot of times what you'll encounter with some people, and that can be religionists or non-religionists, atheists, polytheists, monotheists, all of that is they get caught up into bizarre, weird questions and genealogy. I encountered a lady here one time. I was sitting with the church, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I asked her, she'd like to stay for the church. She said, well, I don't have anything to do with the people that thinks that Jesus was a product of a homosexual marriage. Homosexual unit, where did you pick that from? That's how we teach you. But she was totally convinced that the virgin birth was a homosexual interaction, which I don't get where that comes from. But
it was 6 a.m. in the morning, so I can't have that.
Well, they were sleeping on the road.
Oh, yeah.
In the trailer. So
okay.
Yeah, it was weird. But they have all kinds of weird ideas.
Yeah.
And they don't. And a lot of times they get these weird ideas, and instead of talking about the weird ideas, they just communicate. Okay, and so they've got these weird ideas, or they just plain want to be argumentative. So they can have a question, and the question is not really a question, but just a device that they're trying to use to justify they don't want anything to do with it. know, some questions like, well, can God create a rock that is so big that he can't move it? That's a nonsensical question. Really. And they know it. But you really can't get caught up in that one. And striving's about the law. There was several years ago, there was someone associated with one of our same ministries that they were having good conversations with the guy, getting a lot of progress going, and eventually he decided to leave, went to an Adventist church because he wanted to keep all 10 commandments, not just 9. Mm-hmm. Well, which means that he never understood the law, understood the commandments in the first place. Because it's not about keeping, but it's about acknowledging and recognizing, yeah, I haven't kept. And you can't keep. Mm-hmm. That's why we need Jesus. But they somehow convinced this guy that we were denying God in Christ because we worship on Sunday, and that's an outright rejection of the entire Bible in the person of Christ, rather than acknowledging the difference between saved by legal, by law and saved by grace.
The Ten Commandments is verse 37. Mm-hmm. It was 71.
So we'll take a look and say, well, what do we need to do? 2 Timothy 2:1-3.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Okay. So what does Christ want us to do?
Strong in the recognizing the grace that has been given and what Christ did for us. Endure steadfast hardness.
So we remain steadfast that it's grace. Mm-hmm. Not by my effort, not because of me or anything else, but it's by grace, and we remain in that. Mm-hmm. And we can't add anything to grace, because as soon as we try to add on to grace, we've removed it from being grace. Mm-hmm. Paul talks about that with the
Romans 11.
Yeah, about death. Okay. And then what we do is we communicate to people. We be witnesses, and we tell other people what we know so that they can tell others as well. And so we communicate. We also need to be part of the faithful crew that is learning from others so that we can be prepared to share it with others. And that's why we have these Bible studies, so that we can learn one from another and share what we learn one with another. 1 John 1:1-4.
1 John 1:1-4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled with the word of life. For the life is manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which is with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
And so what is it that John is advocating that we do?
Tell what we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Tell what we know. Tell what we've learned. Tell what we've seen. Tell what we've heard. Tell what we've encountered. We share what we know. And we don't have to worry about who they are. We just share what we know and let God sort it out. We're not responsible for the salvation of anybody. We're just responsible for communicating what God has already told us. And so by doing that, we're serving Christ. And as a result of that, we're serving the greater good of the church. So. And you know, one of the things that we can do with the Bible study, a lot of times we'll have discussions where we're talking about some of the experiences that we've encountered, and we look at, we evaluate our experience, and we take the experience and evaluate it in light of the scriptures so that we may understand our experience better, and that others may learn from our own experiences and either make the same right decision or not make the same mistake. Take away, right? But it's learning from one another. John 13:34-35.
John chapter 13, verses 34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
So what can we do?
Love one another.
And what we have to also understand is that when Christ is talking about loving one another, that does not mean accept, approve, and encourage them in their current present activities.
Rebuking.
It may very well mean rebuking.
Yeah, it may be. To the fact that we talked about that before, about the role call something love, which is really hate. Call things hate, which is really love. I mean, maybe it's a hard love to tell someone that you may not want to hear this, but your ship is going over the cliff if you want to continue that way.
Yeah, there's a movie that was made a long time ago called Judgment. And it was about when Christianity is basically outlawed. You've got to have the special tag on your hand in order to do anything official and get food by the mark of the beast concept. And so there's one of the, they're having this lawyer to figure out whether or not this Christian ought to be executed because she's not falling in line with the government's calling. So they're trying to put, ultimately they're putting God on trial. And so they have this illustration of everyone is in the boat, there's a lot of problems, but everyone is trying to go in the one direction. And except for these troublesome Christians who are trying to row in the opposite direction. And what they didn't bring out with their illustration is, well, as Christians, if we know that the direction you're paddling is taking you over the edge instead of away from the edge, we have to go in the opposite direction. And so they're looking at, well, why don't we just all work together? And it's like, well, sometimes the way we're going is the wrong way. So we have to work against the people. We have to work against it. And so love is sometimes communicating, you guys are working the wrong direction. You're not doing what is right. Well, let's show you a better way to lead towards something new. Luke 19:13.
And he called his ten servants to deliver them ten pounds and seven to them, occupy.
So we've been here before, what do we do?
Occupy.
Keep going.
Got to read
this. We just keep serving God. And we just keep moving forward for his fine Lord.
But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whatsoever will be greater, whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for them.
So what is Christ calling us to do?
Serve others.
He doesn't get the greatest among us.
He doesn't give them the details of what that service looks like, but it's serving others. Find a way that you can serve others. And so we've got to remember that our self-pronounced justification for not getting involved doesn't cut it with Christ. He called us to serve. He never told us to serve when you feel like it. He just said, serve. We've had people tell us that they would be more proactive in serving if they just felt better. Well, try serving and maybe you'll feel better. Right? And so a lot of times what happens is we're grasping at straws. Any reason not to. Instead of saying, I may not feel like it, but that's okay. We're going to do it anyway and see what God does with it. I know more than once I've been part of a Bible study or going to someplace and I wasn't feeling good. It felt a whole lot better afterwards. Mm-hmm. Because serving others and ministering to others and sharing with people the Word of God and encountering and engaging the Word of God energizes and changes. And sometimes we don't. Thoughts?
I think there's something we have to step out of our comfort zone. And if there is, try it. I mean, it might not be our gift, but the fact that we allow God to work in us and try it, at least, puts under a kind of rest of the Word.
Well, Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when we are weak, we will rely more upon Christ than upon ourselves.
I was listening just getting back to when you were talking about one opposite of I was late to a sermon this morning. You were talking about more of the 18 years type thing and the, about rebuking. And the pastor said some people will say you're living past the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So turn the cat around because he's going the wrong way.
Yeah. 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 I mean, sort of like if you're petting a porcupine. Make sure you have the porcupine pain in the right direction. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so very much for your divine grace and for the greatness of your love and your compassion, for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform our lives, that you would strengthen us by your divine spirit and by your divine will to do your will and God. Help us, Lord, to minister to others, even as you have ministered to us in Jesus' name. Amen.